Chief.
Bill Pacenti, Chief Staff to Mayor Picozzi. So one thing I just want to clear up right from the start. No one has mentioned this being affordable housing. So just put that out there. The city is not against affordable housing. We support affordable housing in a mixed use, mixed income development. The 63 units that was proposed by Wynn was an affordable housing development, age-restricted affordable housing. So if you know people are against affordable housing, it's your parents, your grandparents, it's school teachers, it's firefighters, police officers that are just starting out. I'm not sure what the stigmatism is on affordable housing, but this is not allowing affordable housing by right in this proposal. This proposal is to separate out the fields from the school building, from the property, and to put an overlay as a potential for a developer that is interested in bidding on this to have the right to build up to 93 units of housing, however it fits on the property within that footprint. You also have to understand that this is the first of many steps in the approval process for a bidder to get awarded this property. The city council has to approve the bid. The city council has the final say in the highest and best use of the awarded bidder, not the administration, the city council. So this is one step in the many steps ahead for this property. This property has been sitting vacant since the school closed, and we put it out to bid. Wynn was awarded the development, I believe, in 2023. And I can tell you, the city cannot afford to knock this building down. And to Councilman DeLuise's point, the point of doing this project the way we're doing it is to separate the fields so there can be neighborhood recreation. Because right now, it's one lot. If we don't do that, the developer controls those fields. The neighborhood doesn't use them any longer, potentially. The neighborhood doesn't have the recreation. Those fields were improved with, as Director Kravitz mentioned, land and water conservation funds. There'd be a repayment of the city to DEM in some form, either from a swap of land or a cash payment to compensate for that investment. Whatever that investment was, it could have been $5, I don't know. It was back in the 50s or the 30s. The administration is trying to make this a little bit more enticing for developers to just even bid. We got two bids last time. Councilman, four bids. I wasn't in this position then. I thought it was two. And Wynn proposed the elderly housing, you know, 63 units, and I believe it was a $2 million bid. They were reusing that building. If you're knocking this building down, the councilman asked for pricing, that building is built like a bomb shelter. It's got to be 12-inch thick walls. It's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not $1 million, to knock that building down. So we're giving the developer, the potential developer, whoever that may be, the opportunity to have a project or property that has some approval already. They still need to go back to the planning board. They still need to come to the city council. They still need building permits. They still need to be awarded the bid. So to continue to kick this can down the road, I understand there are people that are against it, but there's already been a residential development proposed there that was low-income housing, 63 units. In a similar footprint, we used what the other engineer firm did as a basis to come up with our subdivision. So, you know, I just don't see the point in holding this for additional discussion. There's going to be additional discussion of the city council when we put this out to bid, whether the city council awards to the highest or the best. It can be the highest and the best user. It's not just about price. It's about how it fits in. That's why they went with the age-restricted affordable component versus years ago, an assisted living, a charter school, and I can't remember the other one. There was another use. You know, so that's what I'm just trying to make everyone understand, that we're trying to make it a little bit more palatable for a developer to come and potentially invest money in a project that has some approvals, but not all of them. You're at like the 40-yard line. You're not at the 1-yard line. That's all.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I don't particularly appreciate the classification of affordable housing. This is something that has always rubbed me the wrong way for years. This is workforce housing we're talking about. We're talking about young folks who are graduating from college, from vo-tech schools. We're talking about young accountants, attorneys, nurses, teachers, et cetera, that can't purchase the homes because of the pricing that's out there today. To describe it as affordable housing, I think that's just a bad term. But in any event, I do happen to be a pro-housing guy. For any of you who know me, I have always been that way. But I'm also concerned with recently, particularly in the past year or two, with the excessive amounts of applications that are coming before us for zoning changes. We get to squeeze this little house on this tiny postage stamp lot. And we got to forget about the wetlands and forget about the setbacks and don't worry about the neighbors. Let's just get it done. That, to me, is an issue. We talk about revenue, and you all hear me hollering about increased revenue. Let's increase revenue. The flip side of increasing revenue is reducing expenses. And if we reduce expenses, then maybe we're not going to have to be so desperate to make changes that are going to impact the lives of the folks living around these properties. A question to the chief, actually two questions to the chief, and I'll ask them as you're walking to the podium. One of them is, the first one, is there any discussions that have taken place or are taking place with any potential developers or buyers for this property?
Director Kravitz mentioned that there is interest. There's no active discussions. Some developers have seen this publicly advertised, just like the residents here, and the councilman sent it out via Facebook or however else. They're on these platforms as well. They've expressed interest in the property. And they questioned whether there could be a commercial component. You know, and just so you know, when Wynn was doing the development, their estimated cost for redevelopment of this building, I believe it was $800,000 or $900,000 per unit to create these units. So to reuse this building is a very expensive proposition.
Chief, when you say $800 or $900?
Thousand.
To develop those buildings?
To develop, redevelop Aldridge as was proposed by Wynn.
It was 47, 000.
Director Kravitz just mentioned, it was $47,250,000 investment that Wynn was proposing to make by reusing this building.
Okay. And now what's being asked of us is to approve a change that is going to allow...
Potentially allow.
Well, if this gets approved, it could allow. Okay, potentially.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, the developer would have to ask for the 93 units.
Okay. Potentially allow.
Commercial is not on the table.
31 of these units at 750 square feet apiece. Do you realize what 750 square feet of living facilities is?
Yes, I do. I live in a 1,000-square-foot house.
Okay.
I know exactly what it is.
That's 25% more than 750, but in any event,
it's still a two-bedroom house.
It's very small, and that also drives the price. So is there any guesstimate with the square foot pricing to build 93 apartments versus single-family homes on that same property?
Not that I'm aware of.
How many single-family homes could be built on that property?
We didn't do that calculation.
So we have no idea how many
what's the square footage of the new lot?
Well, it makes a difference because, you know, this is a comparative. It's a comparison between building apartments with 750 square feet of space and versus building single family homes that
right. Perhaps so single family
that,
just
that
one
perhaps can I finish?
Yeah.
That perhaps could generate the same amount of revenue.
So there's a combination of units on this plan as a proposal. There are one bedroom, two bedroom, and three bedroom. Okay. So if you build single family housing, you're almost definitely guaranteeing there's going to be children in the schools. You're almost guaranteeing that.
Well, isn't that what the school department's been yelling about? That we're going to increase the population of the schools. We're going to, with these two schools, we're going to increase. Well, how are you going to do that if there's not a place for them to live? So, you know, I think we're kind of like making things jumbled here. Now we're saying, oh, we don't want to build single family because it's going to increase kids.
Well, you brought up single family, excuse me, but you brought up single family housing. We're not talking about single family housing.
No, I know, but I'm asking for something to compare versus 93 units, which we've heard close to a dozen people object to. So that's why I'm asking. Is there any vision? Is there a vision for this property in value, in fitting in with the community, with the concern of the neighbors? Viewing it in single family. That's another issue I have is we ask, or I should say different folks ask for all these zoning changes and let's change planning and let's make all these changes and let's forget about that and let's increase this and reduce that. And that's being done in some cases without concern for the community. I don't mean the city of Warwick. I mean the local community. In this case, Councilman Ricks's community. Could be my community, could be any one of ours community. And blending in with the existing homes that are already in that area. I get concerned because I see some of these things that sometimes that kind of like goes by the wayside.
So with single family housing, I'm not going to speak for the planning director, but the Post Road is a heavily commercial road. And it's a two-lane each direction road. So if you're putting new single-family housing on that road, you'd have to have a large setback, and you're probably not going to be able to maximize your investment if a bidder was interested in doing that. The reason the city took this approach is it mirrors what was there. It's the same footprint as Aldridge. It's additional units because it's a new building. But it mirrors what was approved as the bidder submitted. This is not a new building that's taking up more land area than the school takes up now. This mirrors what was proposed by Wynn in the same footprint. That's why we are proposing this. If a developer comes in and says, you know what, I want to do 12 single family houses, and they offer $3 million for the property, the council has the right to approve that. We're not locked into the 93 units of a PDR. That's just the overlaid zoning on it that allows someone to do that if their cost estimates and their financials dictate that. I mean, there might be one person, Taylor Swift, might want to build a brand new house on Post Road.
Sure.
For her and Travis Kelce.
Chief, do you or Director Kravitz have any idea in the past 2 years of how many 750 square foot apartments have been built and occupied? You can build all you want, but it doesn't count till they're occupied.
So we have the reuse of the Sheridan Hotel.
I'm sorry?
The Sheridan on Post Road, that's one of them. They've broken ground on Michael Intaglia's property, Skydra, or Sky City. Sky City. There's proposals for in back of the old residence inn. So we have about 1,000 permits of house residential housing. Most of the units that are being built on the commercial corridors, Post Road, Jefferson Boulevard, are smaller apartments for workforce housing, as you mentioned.
Okay.
More affordable housing.
750 square foot units?
750 square feet is not a small house. Maybe it is for you, but like I said, I bought my house in 1999, and it's upstairs and downstairs, 1,200 square feet of living areas, two bedrooms. My wife and two kids live in it perfectly.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the size. Our first house in Warwick with two children was about 950 square feet.
Right.
So I'm familiar with the size.
Right. So 750 square feet is a decent size house or living space for someone that needs housing. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's heard that there's a housing crisis in the state of Rhode Island. Speaker Sakachi mentioned it, former Speaker Sakachi mentioned it. Governor McKee has mentioned it. Candidate Folks has mentioned it. Everyone's mentioned there's a housing crisis. We're trying to help build the housing to house not just the elderly, not just families, but the new family starting out, the graduates of high school. My kids will probably not be able to move out of my house for a long time because they can't afford to buy a house.
Sure.
Housing values are not going down. This is not going to cause your house value to go down. Housing values are going up.
And that wasn't my suggestion. What I asked was how many units have sold with 750 square feet. And by the way,
I
understand that they're sold or rented. I understand that there's a need for smaller apartments, smaller housing. I understand that. My point is you can build all of them that you want, but if you can't rent them and you can't sell them, then what happens?
I believe Alta is about 86% occupied. I believe the Sheridan is almost 90 or 100% occupied. And those are all one bedroom, two bedroom, and three bedroom apartments.
Okay, good.
Those are the ones that have been built so far.
That's all I have for now. Thank you.
And just so we're clear, seven people came out to speak against the project. Two came out to speak generally about the project. This is in reference to the comment that roughly a dozen people came out against it. And from my own ward, although I think the chief might have just mentioned it, Sparrow Point, which has had a wait list for some ungodly amount of time, those apartments aren't much bigger. And Shalom, which is similarly in high demand, are actually far smaller. At least, possibly all of them at the 500 and change mark. That's not to say that this project's a good or a bad idea, pointing out facts based on my own ward. Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a more clarifying questions, Director. So what does the city use as a criteria for highest and best use of a property?
That would be defined in the standard uniform appraisal definition.
So it's a financial metric?
I guess for the most part.
Okay. Chief, did you have something to add to highest and best use? I heard you whisper.
No, I was asking the technician if he had more batteries.
Okay. So are there any other community metrics that planning does? Because your job is more than just zoning and building permits and building. There's a master use agreement for the city of Warwick. Am I correct?
A comprehensive plan, you mean, maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right. When this comes, ultimately, when this comes before the planning board, that's when that will be put together, that record with public input, examination of the comprehensive plan, multiple hearings. This effort here tonight does nothing. It doesn't bind the city to a thing except give us a potential high ceiling to drive up the bids. One of the developers I talked to said, can I just put a bid in and put single family there? I said, sure.
So I let me argue the other side here is we're changing, you know, we're proposing or changing this zoning to a higher density zoning. Is by doing that, are we leading the developers to that type of development, or is it just as beneficial to the city is to leave it open and see what people will bid with the contingency of zoning changes?
Well, a little of both. You're sending a signal to the bidders that, oh, we're entertaining, you know, more density with the PDR. But then the cost of this building to take it down, like I said, that one developer who's been developing in the city, he asked if single family was an option. Of course it is. Even if you change this to PDR, they could still propose single family.
So, okay, so this goes to my next question. What other highest and best use options have been considered for this property, such as, you know, city space, such as open space, such as recreational space? Anything considered on that avenue? And
got to consider the private market too. I have no idea what, you know what I mean? The market could, it changes quickly.
But is our government, is our city in the business of selling our real estate to the highest bidder?
Of course not.
Let me finish. Versus looking at a comprehensive use plan and say, you know something? We have a shortage of recreational space based on the new growth of people coming into the population. All I'm asking is, have other options been considered besides a private development versus a municipal and public use? So that's number one. And number two is really just a, if we do this development, is there any consideration to offering, or will there be a need to offer the development tax breaks?
The answer to that question, I think, would be no. We're not doing a development. We're putting out the notion of a zone change that would increase density. It's not tied to anything. This is just a concept.
Yeah.
As far as studies being done to highest and best use, I mean, there's existing recreation there. We know we need to save that. That's important. There's the whole notion of even saving the historic building. There's a lot of people, I didn't hear from them maybe here tonight, but they love historic buildings and they want to do anything to save them. You know, this didn't start tonight, right? This is an iteration years before I was hired here. A charter school was shot down for some reasons. I don't know why. You're building two new high schools. I think it's going to be tough to get a charter school put back in there. The competition in your own city, right? We were going to save the building with Wynn. That fell through. Let's see what happens. You know, it's a process.
It is a process, and I appreciate the process, but we've had two failed efforts. Looking forward, and I'll take it as that we haven't looked at any other best use options besides sale.
Besides what?
Sale. The sale of the property.
Right. That would be accurate.
That'd be accurate. So we're not considering other community impacts and benefits, such as recreational facilities.
We can look at that.
Okay.
It depends what this body votes by majority. Yeah.
So you're asking right now, I think I have one more follow-up question here. Looking at the maps here, we're looking at the plat and lot of 288-59, which encompasses the fire station, cell tower, Aldridge, and the recreational facility, recreational areas. That's the lot we're looking at to zone the entire area, to change that zoning.
No, it'd be the one with the engine. It's entitled engineering sketch, if you will.
Yep. So
That's the one that depicts the minor subdivision that we think should happen regardless. That can happen. Yep. That doesn't require council approval to effectuate a minor subdivision.
Have we already divided that?
No.
That's my question. So we're essentially voting on that full plat and lot to change the zoning.
Exactly.
Okay.
The only reason we were potentially talking about proposed lot 485 was if you embraced the notion of a GB zone change, it would be restricted to just that lot we're creating, the parking and the building.
Yep. So are we putting the cart before the horse before you divide this to change the zoning?
How so?
If we're changing the zoning for the entire plat and lot, you just said you didn't have it divided, subdivided that lot yet.
I would not change the zone for the entire lot. I would just make it applicable to the new lot be creating.
I'm not an attorney here, but we're voting on a plat and lot in this. So it actually specifically says this plat, this lot. So it does right now encompass the entire area.
It does.
It does.
Which is why we took the GB off the table as part of the option in the bid.
Yep. So
to simply deal with it in the bid.
So again, what I'm asking is, are we putting the cart before the horse before you officially subdivide this into that area before we change the zoning?
Councilman, I'm not sure if I understand. The way I'm hearing you ask is the entire lot that as exists now, we're not changing the zoning on that entire lot. We're asking for the new lot that encompasses Aldridge and the parking lot to have the overlay. The lot where the field is in back of the parking lot.
See, unfortunately, in the packet, it shows the entire lot and plat. So my question to you is, if we vote favorably on public records, land evidence records, it is the boundaries that fill out here, because you're not giving me boundaries for that.
Do they not have that?
I don't have the boundaries.
Right. You would have to specify it on the lot to be created.
Exactly.
Correct.
So
we do have lot numbers and the plat and lot numbers for the new lot.
So you've already gone through the process and subdivided it.
It's only on paper. We had a subdivision drawn up. Our surveyor for the city drew up a subdivision in anticipation of this meeting to show two separate lots.
Okay. All right. I think I've heard enough. I will not be supporting this, basically because we are too premature on what we're looking for. This is reminding me too much of other developments we do in this city. So this will not get my support.
All right. Before we go back to council members who have already spoken, is there anyone who hasn't spoken yet who wishes to do so? Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Council President. Just some questions for the administration, either Director Kravitz or the chief, whoever can answer, just for my education so I can get my head wrapped around what it is we're actually going to be considering. So with the PDR overlay, can you explain to me, because I'm not afraid to admit that I don't really have a good understanding of what a PDR overlay is. I'm assuming someone else in here listening may not also understand what a PDR overlay is and what that would allow a potential builder to then petition the city council to do.
Yeah, it's a mechanism in the zoning code, and it's called an overlay because that's effectively what it is. You've dealt with a number of them in the past, where a developer, to increase the density, will pursue the PDR designation. And so it's effectuated as a map change, a zoning map change. And that's simply all it is. It allows a developer to put more units on a property than they otherwise would. And there's various tables that dictate the maximum density allowed per zoning district, whatever it happens to be. This one's A7, so it's the higher of the number. I think it's 12 units an acre. I forget. I'd have to look it up.
So we're talking about a maximum of 93 units if we approve it as it's presented before us today.
Right.
Does that, can the city, based on what the makeup is, because what a lot of what I'm hearing from the community members that came out is there's a density problem. They don't, that 93 number is not palatable.
Right.
Doesn't seem it anyway. What seems as though is the last approval with Wynn 63 was more palatable because it's in the existing footprint to preserve the building, and that was like pie in the sky. I get that. Can the city say, all right, clearly 93 is not accepted by the community. Can the PDR stipulate that it's 60 or 45?
Yeah, you could just 72? You could just embrace the PDR zone change with the density stipulated in the zoning code and not even speak to a number of units. A developer could then, you know, when they're bidding on something, they'll say, oh, the city council will approve of a PDR in some form. We'll take our chances.
So my concern is, and we say, okay, this is approved for up to 93. A developer's coming in and putting in 93. They're not putting in 92 because they're going to squeeze every penny out of that investment, right? So if a super high density at 93 is not palatable and doesn't seem to make sense in the comprehensive plan, as far as the community is concerned, you know, should we be considering decreasing that number? I don't know, but I think that's worth delving into and having a longer discussion about. My other thought about some of the discussions that have happened here is, you know, we have this building. Well, there were four bids on the last time. Wynn, I wasn't sitting here, so I don't know what there was. There was four bids. Were any of those four bids to develop single family homes? To your recollection.
I'm going to say no. Wynn definitely was clear about saving the building. The other ones might have been just costs, just estimates.
Okay. And did you mention that some of the conversations you've had with developers, their interest is there has been no discussion to this point about single family home development?
There has been with one. Yeah. Asked the very question. Could we put in a bid and put single family? I said, of course. Of course, that person's bid might be different than someone who wants to build, you know, 50 units in a new building, say.
Right.
Because, right, the cost to demo the existing building is there.
Well, I think it is important, and I seem to have heard some of my colleagues allude to the fact that if we're hearing from the community and we're looking at the city usage and what that area could develop into, if we have a developer willing to come in and pay, you know, half of what Wynn paid for the building to put up single family homes.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a strong consideration.
After what I'm hearing tonight, a developer could come in at $300,000 and say, I want to put, you know, 15 single family homes.
Done.
And then you guys can pick that one. It doesn't have to be the highest number.
Okay.
I'm going to put all this stuff in the bid. This is why this is an important exercise tonight to hear from people.
Yeah.
It's very beneficial.
I agree. There was something else, but I think I lost it. I did want to say to all of the community members that came out, it's refreshing to see and hear from all of you in this forum. We often don't see people come out and speak. It changes our perspective in real time. So I truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy days to come here and sit in this room and speak to us. Some of us just like to hear ourselves talk a lot. So I appreciate you kind of belaboring through that. Thank you for your perspective, because without your input, we don't have a direction to vote on other than our own conscience and what our own thoughts might be. And we're not certainly educated the way you are surrounding that community. So I appreciate that. That's probably all I have. Thanks, Tom.
Councilman Foley.
Thank you. To follow up on Councilman Napa and for clarification, if we vote in favor tonight of what you've presented, it does not lock the city into accepting anything. As Councilman Napa said, up to 93, if a developer comes in and wants to do 93, but we have the public come to the public hearings for planning and it gets in front of us again, and that's the proposal,
you could deny it.
We can vote against it. We're not locked in, correct?
Right.
So in the process, this is step one. In step five,
you have three bids, one at 93, one at 63, and one at single-family homes. It would be your expertise looking at the comprehensive plan, the highest and best use, community input, to say, at this point, single-family homes is the way to go. And that's what you would present to us.
We're going to present three sealed bids.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Understood.
You will probably recollect the conversations you heard this evening and make a decision on the bid you pick. That's probably what you'll do as a council person.
All right. And so I guess the point I'm trying to get to is our vote tonight allows the process to continue, or it stops the process in its tracks.
No, it allows it to continue. It simply gives us a high ceiling, potentially, to see what we get for bids.
Could you repeat that, please?
It simply gives us a high ceiling, potentially, to see what we can get for bids, to maximize the bid price, which is not the only thing I care about. It's one of the things.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. If no objection, I'd request 3 minutes. So first,
you got to actually request it and then.
Thank you. Okay. So first, just wanted to make a few things. Oh, pardon me. First, I'll request 3 minutes, please.
Is there any objection to Councilman Ricks receiving 3 more minutes? All right. So you have 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Thank you. Okay, so a few quick points here. Looking at the Appendix A and the Planning Board recommendation, those documents that were posted, it appears that the maximum density for this area that would be carved off, that is where the Aldridge Building is right now, maximum density allowed without the PDR overlay would be 57. Units, quite substantial. Now, I don't want to do this based on mental math, but I don't want to get anybody's hopes up here either as to single family houses, because I believe that that 4.76 acres, I'd have to compare that to the Rhodes site, wasn't able to pull up that data, but you're not fitting 57 single family houses there. That's for sure. I'm guessing maybe around 20 or so, but I don't want to go on the record with that kind of math without doing it out.
Yeah. When you consider the roads and things that have to come out, that's probably more in line, yeah.
Yeah, and from experience, I don't see a developer coming through with that kind of a proposal, so I don't want to get people's hopes up there. I do want to thank my colleagues for all of their comments, a lot of insightful comments here. Now, when it comes to the action we take this evening, a concern that I have procedurally here is that there is a reference to a legal description and Exhibit A, but when I check my email, you know how we often receive these items, as well as when I check the City Council website, and also, for good measure, I double-checked the Secretary of State's website, although generally it's just the agendas posted there. I am not actually seeing that Exhibit A and change in legal description anywhere there. So based on that and the actual maps that show the PDR overlay as to the entirety of the property, I'm thinking that procedurally, the only thing that we could really vote on tonight would be the whether or not to do the PDR overlay here and now or something along those lines, as opposed to a partition based on a change in, well, partitioning, that is splitting off the one lot into two different lots, with that second lot being the field and the fire station, for instance. So I just want to make sure that I'm clear on that point, that that would have to be its own publicly advertised, and that would have to be posted anyway. We're not able to go ahead and do that division here this evening regardless, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I concur with you that the PDR overlay should only apply to the lot we were are poised to record, if you will.
You got about 11 seconds left.
Okay. So in 11 seconds, I'll briefly state that I don't think that we're really holding up anything here tonight. I'd be comfortable holding this. Thank you.
I want to make sure I heard you right. You prefer to hold it? Is that what you said? All right, understood. Councilman Napa?
Yep, I remembered what I was going to ask. Relative to the recreational fields that exist now, the tennis courts, the baseball, the ball field, baseball, softball, whatever it is, and the open space, is my understanding correct that the city, we have to split that off because of the restriction that's on there, the federal restriction?
Yeah.
So regardless of the PDR overlay, that has to be done.
It needs to stay.
So we shouldn't have actually disposed of that with the last bid.
No.
Right. So, okay.
You're going to find a suitable replacement of equal size and acreage. And you just don't find lots that big in city owned. So
I just want to clear that up for anyone who was following that conversation train along, as it made it seem like it was like a horse trade, like, oh, we're preserving the space, but we have to. We should have done that in the last disposition of this property.
Yeah, frankly, should have subdivided a long time ago. That's the most minor piece of this.
No matter what we do in the future, tonight, whatever we do with that property, that recreational space is essentially...
It's going to be preserved.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. All right, so my own two cents. As one gentleman from the public pointed out, that building is a derelict. It's just kind of a blight at this point. I'm not a big fan of the fact that the city is responsible currently for a blighted property, despite our best efforts to get rid of it one way or another. It's exorbitantly expensive to demo it, as we well know, and exorbitantly expensive to redevelop it. I am similarly concerned about the density, because I know if this was my ward, I would be saying the same thing that Councilman Ricks is saying. In fact, this is a current topic somewhat in my ward already with Centerville Road. So the concerns seem well-founded. It sounds like, based on what I'm hearing tonight, that I suspect the will of the body would be to hold it. I obviously can't speak for everyone. I might even suggest the administration, you may want to consider putting this out to bid regardless, not for the proposal before us, because I don't think the proposal is going to pass one way or another tonight. But considering there were other bidders before, it doesn't seem like the worst idea, rather than letting this languish for months and months, potentially, it might not, to resolicit bids, especially if at that point you can offer or suggest to the bidders that they provide some alternative bids, such as if the property was owned XYZ, feel free to bid as if that was the case, to see if anyone actually bites, rather than us debating based on speculation what may or may not come around. Because while it's true for most developments, when the developer won't go in at the max because they'll know it's unpalatable, they'll come down. If the max is set at 93, then they will come down from there, as opposed if the max is set at 60-something, and come down from there, et cetera. But I think Councilman Ricks is right when it comes to the community opinion, which we heard a mix of tonight. And the overall opinion is that it seems to be high density, blighted property, and everyone definitely has a vested interest in what happens to it. So, given what members of the council have already stated tonight, does anyone have a motion? I yield to you on this one, Councilman Ricks.
Move to hold August 17th.
Second.
Solicitor had a good point. Does it make more sense on your end if it's held till September?
Potentially. I have another question. I'm recording the minor subdivision, and then we're re-advertising with a proper description, right, for September? We can do that. That makes sense.
I think if you're looking to entertain other steps in between, time gives us some flexibility to see if we can kind of square that circle. If we're rushed within a few weeks, it may be a moot gesture to begin with because of whatever steps you may be taking. So my position would be more time gives us the ability to decide if we can proceed through this vehicle or if we need to come up with a different one down the road. So it depends on what you do, but I think time gives us the flexibility to figure out how to address it in a very narrowly tailored way.
I would agree with that, just working with the clerk alone, the extra time helps both of us.
We can always, depending on what steps you take, we can always have another matter brought up as well if this is not the best vehicle to do it with. But if this vehicle could work, then we can attempt that down the road. But my sense is August may not afford us enough time to take some of those steps.
So just so I'm clear, because the acoustics in here are terrible, Do you have any objection to if you have to choose between September or August, does it matter for you?
September would be better.
All right.
We could record the minor subdivision. Heck, we could take the 93 units off the table altogether and just ask for a PDR on that new lot. Done.
So, Councilman Ricks, would September be acceptable for you?
Yes. September 14th, I believe, is the September meeting.
Does that mean you're comfortable modifying your proposed motion to hold accordingly?
Yes.
Is there any objection to that? And the second, I assume, is okay with that? All right. So now before us is the motion to hold until September 14th. Is there any further discussion? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa? Mr. Mito?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes to hold.
All right, that brings us to our next matter, PCO 24-26, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, MJV Enterprises, LLC, applicant 2281 and 2279 West Shore Road, assessor's plat 350, lots 84 and 661. This is public properties, so Councilman Ricks.
Committee recommends open public hearing.
For action, Councilman Mito.
Second. Oh. The action is to open public.
Right, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby? Yes. Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Mito?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
All right, the public hearing stands open. We'll start with the applicant.
Good evening, Council President and honorable members of the Warwick City Council. Attorney Joseph Brennan here on behalf of the applicants, MJV Enterprises, LLC. Quick little just background, but I'm sure you are all familiar with this property. It lies at 2281 and 2279 West Shore Road. The existing property as it stands today is split between two zones. At the front along West Shore Road is a general business zone, and along the back is which is a landlocked parcel, is in an A7 zone. So in reality, the way that the zoning ordinance works, because the back lot doesn't have any access to street frontage and these two lots are in common ownership, for zoning and building purposes, these are considered one lot, although the deeds and other descriptions may say otherwise. If anyone were to apply for a building permit, the city would consider this one lot already. as part of our application, just to make things clean, title searches, new buyer, new everything. We'll be merging these lots as part of the approval process into one lot. What exists there today is like a minor, small, like I've been working on this property for like 3 to 4 years. So I refer to it as the TV shop. I guess it was an old commercial shop. It fixed TV repairs, had a couple of other small uses in it. And then there's another home, which is a single family home, which I've had, they're not arguments, but just discussions with the applicants and the city over time, because there's debate whether it's a pre-existing legal two-family from before when the zoning ordinance was created, or if it's an illegal two-family. But so everyone, only one family has been living in it. But this property just had a myriad of problems over the years, especially for the size of it. There was auto storage illegally at one point. We cleaned that up. There's just been a couple of different things. So what the applicant is before you today after many different proposals with more units at different times, but they've come to what I believe is a good, fair proposal for the lot size. It's going to demolish the existing structures on the building, start with a fresh grade, and do what you'll see as 11 townhouse homes. In along the front on West Shore Road, you'll see the two sets. One is two units, the other is three. Then you'll see it along the back, on the, and then again on the side. To our east is the bank, the credit union. So as from an abutters perspective, generally we haven't heard from them. We haven't had any concerns from them, which is also why you can see our building placement is closer to that edge. So when you see the variances that we are requesting, most of them lie along that edge, because we're trying to encroach more on that setback where and when we have to, rather than on the current neighbors who are along Glen Drive. And then when you go to Glen Drive, where those two units are being proposed, we own to the corner. So we don't have a necessarily an abutter there. It's the street. But then, yes, of course, we've got that side yard abutter for that the existing two properties that are there. When it comes to parking, we meet all the parking requirements. We're not asking for any relief from that besides the fact that parking in the city's ordinance requires you to have a 15-foot setback from your residential structures. Now, just so you know, that's for the residential structures on our own lot that we're creating. We're not asking for that variance from a neighbor's lot. We're providing plenty of buffer required, but of course that 15-foot setback is a very difficult standard for a developer to meet when they're developing any kind of multifamily, because oftentimes you want your parking spaces close to your house or your unit that you own. You don't want them set back on a long walk. So you try to balance those inequities. And also during the planning stage, we had some neighbors come out, and we heard very clearly from the chairman, Slocum, that he was very concerned, and I'm sure this board would be too. That's why I'm just letting you know the history of it, that along the side where you see right in the middle, we've got some parking that does kind of face the residence. He wants extreme heavy screening, and I'm sure that the applicant will provide that. I think they do show like some kind of fencing as part of it that will block, be a thick barrier to block out lights. And then he expects, and we will provide, intense vegetative screening that would be year-round screening as well, not foliage that you lose in the wintertime that can allow those lights to come through. As part of our approval process, we have been before the planning board. We've received master plan approval and the positive recommendation to the council. And then going forward next is where more of the heavy engineering comes in. So they'll start working on stormwater management runoff. The city engineer will review all of those things. We have to get Rhode Island DEM and Rhode Island DOT permits in order to do it as well. So any questions or issues about traffic would be answered by those experts. Because they'll have to review any physical alteration permits that we have for providing these types of change of uses. So with that being said, I am here to do my best to answer any questions that the council has. Normally we would have the engineer's office here too, but this was their holiday day because they were going off the state's schedule because they do so much permitting work for those agencies. So I'll do my best. Thank you.
All right. First up, is there anyone here to speak for this project? Is there anyone here to speak for this project? Is there anyone here to speak for this project? Is anyone here to speak against this project? Is there anyone here to speak against this project? Is there anyone here to speak against this project? Is there anyone here to speak generally about this project? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak generally about this project? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak generally about this project? All right, seeing none, Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. Do you want me to close public hearing first?
Yes, please.
Make a motion to close public comment.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
Yes. Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Wright?
Yes.
Yes. Public
hearing. All right. And now questions from the council. Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been intimately close to the discussions here and the neighbors. I will give credit to the developers. They have listened to the neighbors and the concerns with adjusting their setbacks and their designs. I will be supporting this this motion. This is a piece of land that I've been here 57 years. I think it hasn't changed in 57 years. So we're talking earlier about having higher density units to combat some of the housing shortage. This will fit nicely within the neighborhood. It was very respectful when it was talking with some of the issues in the adjustments. There's a similar type development going in that's been approved almost across the street. So this one right here, I have no concerns with the new adjustments. So thank you very much for all the work. I agree with you, it's been 3 years. Two of them have been, you know, talking with the neighbors, and I think this will be very good for our community and for our blighted property. So thank you so much.
Any other members of the council wish to speak on this? Councilman Ricks.
I'll try to keep it brief. I think it's really a testament here to all of the work that was done in advance, meeting with neighbors and community, working with the city councilor for the area, that you know, something like this, significant change to that property. And I'll take your word and the city councilor's word for it, that this is something that's supported by the community. Don't have people coming out with concerns and objections. So just have to recognize an excellent job. And I think that, this is an excellent use for a property like that. We certainly need more housing. And this is, from everything I'm seeing and hearing, this is the right way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the council wish to speak? All right. Seeing none, do we have a motion? Councilman Muto.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes for us.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. So now we will go back to consent calendar. We have PCR 75-26, resolution relative to bids. This is Finance Committee. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action.
So for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Recommend favorable action on PCR 75-26.
You mean move favorable action? Right.
Move favorable action for PCR 5-26. We do have two PCRs removed.
Mm-hmm. All right, and it was seconded by Councilman Mito. Is there any further discussion on the consent calendar, minus the items that were removed?
Just to note, the two items that were removed was bid 2027-074, which has become PCR 7626, and bid 2025-237 has become PCR 7726, which will be dealt with after the consent calendar.
All right. So any discussion on the remaining consent calendar? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on it.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes, consent passes.
All right. So first up is bid 2027-074, which is now PCR 76-26. Councilman Lattiser?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman. The recommendation was to move, it was moved to the floor.
All righty. So first up, make sure I know which one we're talking about. Yeah. All right. So this is the purchase various police vehicles. Was the first item that was considered by the Finance Committee. Does anyone have a motion for this so that we can actually discuss it? Councilman Foley?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Napa. All right, so for discussion, does anyone have any comment? That wasn't raised in committee. Councilman Lattiser?
This is a comment that kind of wasn't. At any event, as I stated in committee, I will not be voting in favor of this, and I put on the record my reasons for taking that position.
That's the perfect way to do that, by the way. You can absolutely, and you should, cite back to your committee comments. There's no reason to rehash everything, so thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak on this? All right. Seeing no one, clerk will please call the roll on the motion for favorable action for PCR 76-26.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby? Yes. Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
6-2, motion passes.
All right, next up is bid 2025-237, which is now PCR 77-26. Councilman Lattiser?
Committee recommended favorable action with one no vote.
With one what? I'm sorry.
No vote.
All right. So for action?
Motion to move favorable action.
Right. Motion made by Councilman Napa, seconded by Councilman Foley. So any discussion on PCR 77-26, formerly bid 2025-237, which was the pre-engineered Meadow Building Warwick Police Department? Councilman Lattiser.
Same comments, Mr. President. I'll be voting no on this for the reasons I stated in the Finance Committee. Thank you.
And same comment for me. Thank you for doing that exactly right. Does anyone else wish, Councilman Ricks?
I'll just comment briefly that I do support the Finance Chair on this. Don't necessarily have an issue with, there's some need to be addressed here, but well, I think that enough was said during the Finance Committee itself. Thank you.
All right, just my own 2 cents. While I do plan on voting yes, I was not terribly thrilled. Oh, actually, am I mixing them up? No, this is the change order one, correct? Right, yeah. I wasn't terribly thrilled with the documentation lacking the signatures, although I'm confident that the documentation is somewhere where it is properly notated and or that it was somewhat made irrelevant by the fact that the city accepted it. It's still not great, the fact that that's what we got provided, that's what gets posted for the world to see. Just a bad look, at a minimum. But that being said, that's my only real gripe. So clerk will please call the roll. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Councilman Napa lit up. I apologize.
Just briefly, I agree with Councilman Lattiser on all his points and gripes about accountability and tracking, and I think that all departments need to get to the root cause of these issues so that we don't keep having this same problem where there's a miscommunication or a misunderstanding about what's available, what we should have, and there does need to be more accountability on the part of the architects and the contractors so that we don't have these issues keep coming up, because it is extremely frustrating, and we waste an inexorbitant amount of time trying to figure out where the disconnect happened and why. So I'm with the chairman on that. I share your concerns, Council President. So I do support the premise of this vote to get this done and get this paid and closed out, but share all the same concerns.
Yeah, I suspect we're all in agreement in that regard when it comes to the deficiencies. All right. Does anyone else wish? All right. So seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
6-2, motion passes.
All right. And because we jumped around, I just want to make sure I didn't jump over something. Correct. So unfinished business, PCO 22-25, an ordinance prohibiting camping on public property. This is ordinance. My understanding is that the request was to hold until November 23rd.
That is correct.
Is there any objection to holding until November 23rd? Seeing none, so held. Next is PCO 8-26, an ordinance establishing a real estate non-utilization tax. This is ordinance. My understanding is the request is to hold until August 17th.
Also correct.
Is there any objection to holding until August 17th? Seeing none, so held. And that brings us to new business, which there is none. On to unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none, we'll stare at Councilman
Since
Foley.
Since there's no further business before this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
Is there a second? All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, to the docket session we go. Ward 1.
I have one, an ordinance in regards to no overnight parking on the easterly side of River Street. There is a traffic study.
Public safety. Ordinance. Councilman Ricks.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
I just have one, but I don't know how to present this. The study was done and a decision was made by the state in 2024 regarding one of my constituents who just opened a cafe on West Shore Road, Cafe Namaste. She wanted me to inquire about a crosswalk where Cole Farm is, and they already denied this one time. They did a traffic study, but the neighbors, some other neighbors came to me and said, well, there was never a reason for anyone to go across the street. There was a laundromat, the liquor store's there. Now there's a cafe there. Traffic light may help, but.
State road, right?
They did a traffic study, and they did a three-year traffic study, and they also did a study, and they claimed that only one person in a three-hour period tried to cross the road. So I don't know if, I mean, I just want to help them out. I don't know if we can do a traffic study.
It sounds like you're requesting.
I think the same result is going to happen.
I mean, it sounds like you're requesting the state do another traffic study. It could be, rather than trying to figure out the fine details now, which we shouldn't, we can at least say what traffic study regarding West Shore Road, and then we can figure out what to do exactly.
Yeah, I recommend docketing a resolution regarding safety enhancements for that area.
Yeah, between like Cole Farm and the fire station that's there.
And we can assign that to intergovernmental. We've had a few of those pending before.
We'll see if we can get a different answer.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Councilman Lassa, Ward
Thank
5,
you.
Sorry. Ward 6. I'll circle back. Ward 7? Pass? Got it. All right. Ward 9, obviously, has to pass because he's not here. I have one, a resolution in regards to the 2027 City Council calendar. That'll be intergov. And then we'll just wait a moment or two. We'll hear from Ward 6. All right, Ward 6 passes, so we are concluded at 8:48 p.m.